Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
The potency of the association of devotees and the deities and the holy name and the combination of all of them in Rath Yatra is extraordinary. Just walking down the street, one could feel the whole atmosphere change by the presence of the Rath Yatra procession. Today I will read a few verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that describe a little of the mood of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees during the Rath Yatra festival in Jagannath Puri. In fact, there is a picture on the wall right here that shows Lord Chaitanya dancing in ecstasy in front of Lord Jagannath's Rath. And the chapter begins with a very interesting verse, which I will read. One day Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Soho Gito Gora Doe Pushpavantu Chitra Sando Tamo Nido. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Today was one of those days when I could see the sun and the moon in the sky at the same time. I don't know if any of you noticed it. And that fortunate occurrence is reminiscent of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who both arose to dissipate the darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali. So when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, he was steeped in the mood of separation from Krishna. And the mood of separation from Krishna is very important for progressing in Krishna consciousness. Because we can only feel separation from something when we have attachment for it. If you know someone and develop a relationship with the person, and then you're separated from the person, then you can feel that mood of separation. And the mood of separation makes you want to be with the person. And if you're serious about it and are ready to act upon it, then you will take whatever steps are required in order to be reunited with the person. So we conditioned souls of the material world somehow have become separated from Krishna. And generally we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna. We've forgotten that Krishna or God even exists. But by hearing from devotees one's recollection of Krishna is revived. Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, gives the example that if you receive a phone call from someone and he just says his name or her name, this is so and so, then immediately you remember everything about the person. Because you have a relationship with the person. So when we hear the holy name of Krishna, that serves to awaken our recollection of our eternal relationship with Him. So it's very powerful. So I will read some of these verses that explain the inner mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And although it's a very exalted state of consciousness, but we can learn from it and aspire to follow gradually in that mood as is appropriate for us. So text 52, to say if this is, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 1, the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Text 52. For the sake of time, I will just read the English translations. In the attitude of separation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared mad both day and night. Actually, once I had a dream a few years ago in which Srila Prabhupada told me, you have to be mad for Krishna. And I happened to mention that dream to His Holiness Radhanath Swami, who was visiting me. And when I uttered those words, he replied, oh, you have to be very, very pure to experience that state. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the attitude of separation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared mad both day and night. Sometimes he laughed, and sometimes he cried. Sometimes he danced, and sometimes he chanted in great sorrow. At those times, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit Lord Jagannath. Then his feelings exactly correspond to those of the gopis when they saw Krishna at Kurukshetra after long separation. Krishna had come to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister to visit. So there's a whole history which you can read in Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam. But in short, after living from the day of his birth, that also requires explanation because Krishna is never born, but from the day he appeared in this world until the age of about 16, Krishna enjoyed pastimes with his most intimate, loving devotees in Vrindavan. And at the age of 16, he left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and eventually Dwarka. And the residents of Vrindavan were plunged into an ocean of separation. But that separation was also ecstasy. Outwardly, it appeared like misery, but internally, it was ecstasy. And among the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis, the young cowherd damsels, they had the greatest attachment for Krishna and the purest love. when I first came to the Boston Temple and began to associate with the devotees, Srila Prabhupada was in Boston. And I didn't know that there was anything besides the temple in Boston. I thought, I'll just spend the rest of my life here with Srila Prabhupada. And then after a week, the devotees were making preparations to go to the airport. So I asked, what's happening? And they said, Srila Prabhupada is leaving. Srila Prabhupada is leaving? Where is he going? Oh, he's going to Columbus, Ohio, and then he's going to Los Angeles. Really? Bob and I come to the airport to this. So at the airport, I saw all the devotees were crying. And I was really surprised, because up until then, the devotees are always smiling and dancing and relishing Krishna consciousness. So there was a lady in the Boston Temple who was at the airport, and I asked her, what is this? Why are all the devotees crying? So she explained that Srila Prabhupada had said that in the absolute world, meeting and separation are the same. Both are occasions of ecstasy. So this struck me as a very profound answer, although I wasn't sure how practical it was, but it did strike me as a very beautiful answer. So the devotees stayed, and in those days, before 9/11, you could accompany the passenger to the departure gate, and so we were just there to watch Srila Prabhupada board the aircraft, and the devotees stayed, nobody moved. So I asked her, what's happening now? Why is everyone standing still? And she said that Srila Prabhupada said that when the spiritual master departs, the disciples should look at the airplane until it disappears in the sky. Just like the gopis watched the chariot take Krishna from Vrindavan until it disappeared in the distance. So, we should understand that this separation is not the same as material separation, although it resembles it. Because otherwise you might think, you know, I like the devotees because they're always so happy and singing and dancing and relishing prasad. And now it seems like when you become advanced, you become more miserable. But that's only the external appearance. Internally, it is the greatest ecstasy. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to dance before the car during the festival, he always sang the following two lines. Seta Parananata Pandu Yajavagi Madana Dame Juri Gaini. I have gotten the Lord of my life, for whom I was burning in the fire of separation. Lusty desires. Lord Chaitanya used to sing this song, Seva Paranata, especially during the latter part of the day. And he would think, let me take Krishna and go back to Vrindavan. This ecstasy was always filling his heart. So the idea is that in the Ratha Yatra, the residents of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, the other gopis and other residents of Vrindavan, they went to Kurukshetra to see Krishna. It was the first time they had met him after he left Vrindavan. But they felt, especially Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they felt that what is this? We knew Krishna as a cowherd boy with a flute and peacock feathers. And there was the Jamuna River and Govardhan Hill and the dancing of peacocks and the chirping of birds. And what is this? He's dressed up like a royal prince and he's surrounded by soldiers and secretaries and his elephants and horses making their sounds. And what is this that we can't relish with Krishna in this atmosphere? We want to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. So that was their mood, that they wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. And that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood when he celebrated the Ratha Yatra, that he was pulling the chariots. Here we were carrying the chariot, but generally, like in Los Angeles, they pulled the chariot with ropes. So he was in the mood of Radharani, the residents of Vrindavan, to pull Krishna back to Vrindavan. In that ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited a verse when dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. Almost no one could understand the meaning of that verse. Almost no one. It's a beautiful verse in Sanskrit, the translation. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Tetra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. But still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the river under the Vihasi tree. That is my desire. Her book, Srila Prabhupada, this verse appears in the Pajabari 386, an anthology of verses compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. This verse appears to be the hankering between some ordinary boy and girl. But its actual deep meaning was known only to Swarup Damodar. He was the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. By chance, one year Rupa Goswami was also present there. Although the meaning of the verse was known only to Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, after hearing it from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately composed another verse that described the meaning of the original verse. After composing this verse, Rupa Goswami wrote it on a palm leaf and put it on the roof of the thatched house in which he was living. After composing the verse and putting it on the roof of his house, Srila Rupa Goswami went to bathe in the sea. In the meantime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Rupa Goswami's hut to meet him. We also are just by the sea. We also have Radhyatra just by the sea. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to see the Upala Bhoga ceremony at the temple of Jagannath. And after seeing this, he used to visit Rupa Goswami on his way to his own residence. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the residence of Srila Rupa Goswami, he accidentally saw the palm leaf on the roof, and thus he read the verse composed by him. After reading the verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into an ecstatic mood. While he was in that state, Rupa Goswami came and immediately fell down on the ground like a rod. That's called Dandavat. When Rupa Goswami fell down like a rod, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and gave him a slap. Then, taking him on his lap, he began to speak to him. "No one knows the purport of my verse," Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. "How do you understand my intention?" Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed various benedictions upon Rupa Goswami, and taking the verse, he later showed it to Swami Damodar Goswami. Having shown the verse to Swarup Damodar with great wonder, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him how Rupa Goswami could understand the intentions of his mind. So now I'm coming to what in a way is the heart of tonight's discussion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We have the opportunity to receive a similar blessing from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami when we presented an essay at his birthday ceremony. He was so pleased with that essay that he used to call some of his confidential devotees and show it to them. How could we have understood the intentions of Srila Prabhupada? So he's relating Lord Chaitanya's wonder at Rupa Goswami's understanding his inner mood with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's wonder at Srila Prabhupada's understanding of his mood. So he asks, how could Rupa Goswami have understood my mind? And this is what Swarup Damodar Goswami replied. If Rupa Goswami can understand your mind and intentions, he must have your lordship's special benediction. That is, only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could Rupa Goswami have understood his intention. And so by analogy, only by the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could Srila Prabhupada have understood his mood and mission. The Lord said, "I was so pleased with Rupa Goswami that I embraced him and bestowed upon him all necessary potencies for preaching the bhakti cause. I accept Rupa Goswami as quite fit to understand the confidential mellows of devotional service, and I recommend that you explain devotional service to him further."
Then this is the verse composed by Rupa Goswami. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still I would like to go to the bank of the Yamuna to meet the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan. Report. This verse also appears in the Padyavali 387, an anthology of verses compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami sort of took that apparently mundane love poetry that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciting it and translated it into its real meaning as an expression of Srimati Radharani to Lord Krishna. So, it is the duty of the disciple to understand the mood and mission of the spiritual master. Of course, it is not, this was a very personal, intimate mood, but the general mood is known. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the same mood in general terms, which was internally to relish Krishna consciousness and externally to spread Krishna consciousness. And that same mission has been passed down through parampara, the cyclic succession, through all of the acharyas, following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami, to us. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be both. I mentioned, maybe I'm not asking you, that Prabhupada had one disciple in Vrindavan, who was the temple president. And as the temple president, he was responsible for the construction and all aspects of the management of the project. And he came to Srila Prabhupada and complained. He wanted to be relieved of those responsibilities so that he could enter more into the mood of Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada replied that by service to the spiritual master and by the grace of the spiritual master, one can enter into Vrindavan. One cannot enter into Vrindavan by one's own separate endeavor. Then again, there was another disciple who was very active in raising funds and making various arrangements. And Srila Prabhupada surprised the other disciples by saying that after I leave, this disciple will fall down. And the other disciples asked, why are you saying that? He said, because he is not chanting his rounds.
So these two examples illustrate that we have to do both. In other words, the inner desire of the spiritual master is that we do both. That we chant and hear about Krishna, follow the regulated principles, and relish Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, we go out and give Krishna consciousness to others, like we did in the Radha. Of course, that included relishing, chanting the Holy Name and seeing the deities, but at the same time we were giving others the opportunity to give the Holy Name and get transcendental literature. So, it's very simple in a way. As Srila Prabhupada said, it's simple for the simple, but difficult for the crooked. I know that. But otherwise, it is very simple. We just follow the instructions of the spiritual master, chant our rounds, read the books, serve the deity, associate with devotees, and somehow or other try to induce others to chant the Holy Name, learn about Krishna. And that combination will fill our hearts with transcendental joy. Because it will please Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our gurus. And when they are pleased, we experience happiness. That's how we experience happiness. And that happiness continues no matter what condition we're in. In the material world, there's always duality. Pleasures and pains. Ups and downs. We get money, we lose money. We get this, we do that. It just goes on and on. And if we try to be happy on that platform of material security, material shelter, material enjoyment, we won't be happy because it's the world of duality. Things change very quickly. There's no certainty. Except death. That sure is death. That's the only thing that's sure. Nothing else is sure. So we need a happiness that is beyond this duality. Even beyond the duality of life and death in this body. And that is Krishna consciousness. And we can see devotees, some, you know, prominent devotees and some lesser known devotees. They are always happy, no matter what happens. And it's because their happiness isn't based on the body or on, you know, their position in society or their economic situation. They are relishing another kind of happiness in relation to Krishna. It's really astonishing and encouraging to be with that. Yeah, there are many here in this community. So that is the happiness that will satisfy. It's the only happiness that will endure. And this is why Srila Prabhupada came to America. You may know the story that Srila Prabhupada, he was a sannyasi in India, He didn't have any material needs, but his spiritual master had ordered him to spread Krishna consciousness in the English language. And generally, as Prabhupada said, most of the Swamis think of going to London, a few thought of New York, America. And so he went to Srimati Sumati Maharaji, who was the owner of the City of Steam Navigation Company, and asked for free passage on a cargo carrier. And, she was a busy lady, and, it was hard to get to see her sometimes, but he persevered. And her secretary said to Srila Prabhupada, "Swamiji, why are you so eager to go to America? I know why. Every Indian wants to go to America. They want to see the sights and enjoy the life in America." He was joking, of course. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "What have I got to enjoy? This body is almost finished, but I know there is a generation of youth there. They're confused and frustrated, and I want to make them happy." So that was his goal. And those who took to Krishna consciousness and were staying with Krishna consciousness, they're happy. At that time, there was a generation called hippies. And we were so new. I mean, people were confused. They thought maybe this is a type of hippie. And someone even said to Srila Prabhupada, "Are these people hippies? Are you all hippies?" He said, "No, we are not hippies. We are happies." So that's why we go out, we're happy, and we want to share that happiness. And sharing that happiness, you become even happier. The one increases the other. And seeing others become happy, then you become even more happy. So, I can see that you all are happy here, at least. I'm happy here. And so, let's try to come as often as possible, stay in this association. And if you can't come to the temple, try to make your home into a temple. Have friends come over and chant and read, discuss, on prasad. You can do it anywhere, but the temple is definitely a special facility that Srila Prabhupada has given where we can come and enjoy it together and bring more people to nourish Krishna consciousness. So, I can hardly believe it myself. I'm on schedule. This can only be explained by divine mercy. Internally, I thought, well, Tukaram said it, but I mean, he's pretty flexible himself. But we are in his domain, and by the divine energy we have entered in time. Hare Krishna.